Today's message is called Chosen Instrument. Chosen Instrument. Tell your neighbor, you are a chosen instrument. Tell yourself, I am a chosen instrument. I didn't hear you guys. Tell yourself, I am a chosen instrument. You can say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I don't care. I truly don't care. When God says it, he says it. It doesn't matter. And I'm about to show you. We're going to go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I was acting a fool right before we started church, and I was singing with a deep voice, and I think it hurt my voice. So now I sound like Sylvester Stallone a little bit, you know. So, Adrian! I'm telling you guys, if you guys want to see me act a fool, just come early. So, Acts 9. Today's message is called Chosen Instrument. Acts 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I want to stop right there. Tell your neighbor, suddenly. Do we have all those other mics turned off? Do you know that? Are they all turned off? I'm hearing that feedback. Suddenly, the word says, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, let me tell you a little background story about Saul, okay? Saul, later to be the Apostle Paul. I know that sounds like a rhyme, but I didn't make it up, okay? Saul will be later the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest disciples, one of the greatest apostles in the Bible. He wrote just about most of the New Testament, okay? But right here it says that he went to ask for letters to the high priest. And what he was doing is he was persecuting the Christians. He hated the Christians. He hated them. Okay? He didn't like their Jesus. He didn't like their preaching. He was trying to destroy Christianity. And so he gathered some group of men, and he was putting Christians in prison. And he was there when they stoned one of the disciples named Stephen. He was there. I don't know if he ordered the hit, but he was there. Okay? He was there. Now, he was a no good guy. Okay? He was a no good guy. He was mean. He was ferocious. He was angry. He was mad. He was on a mission, right? He was on a mission to persecute all Christians. He said, any Christian that I find, I'm going to throw him in prison. Who knows what else he would have done to them. And so there he is. He's on his way to try to get to some Christians on the road to Damascus on his journey. And then suddenly, a big light flashed upon him. And he fell to the ground. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Watch this, verse 5. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. Look at me. Now, is that not funny? He said, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. Seriously? He just called him Lord. Who are you, Lord? See, he knew it was the Lord. He knew it was the Lord. When God speaks, when God shakes the ground, When God flashes his light at you, you know it is the Lord. Now, you don't want to hear it. You might not want to hear it. You might want to back away. You might like, oh, God, don't talk to me right now. Right? But you know it is the Lord. He knew it was the Lord. Why he even asked, I do not know. But he answered his own question, right? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. Let's read on. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. There we go again with the 3 days, right? The power of three. You guys need to go back and re-listen to those messages, the power of three, because there's something that God does in three. In threes. Amen? For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. See, Ananias knew it was the Lord, right? The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas in Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority for the chief priest to arrest all who will call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Let's stop right there. So, Saul was on a mission, right? Saul was on a mission. He was going to go destroy some Christianity. He thought he had it going on. He thought he knew what life was about, right? He had his little small army, and he thought, oh, yeah, we're going to get these guys. He thought he was gangster. He really did. And now, God shined his light upon him and knocked him down to his butt, right? It's funny. To me, it's funny because sometimes we think what life is all about. We think we know what it's all about, right? Making money, you know, fighting, drinking, partying, making it rain, right? We think we have it figured out, and we're on a mission. We're on a mission to do something. Let me tell you something. That when I was in high school, when I was in elementary, I was a pretty good kid. Okay, when I got to high school, suddenly I became this evil kid. I want to say around freshman, I began to get a little bit like, okay, you know, I could do whatever. And then by the time my sophomore year, I was straight out crazy. I figured out that nobody loved me, nobody cared for me at a young age. And by the time I hit high school, I didn't care for anybody else then. And that made me very dangerous. And at that same time, around 16, whatever, you know, I'm thinking that somewhere along the line, I'm going to become this big mafia member. That was my goal. I'm going to become this gangster, thug guy, this great guy, you know. And I figured something that I didn't really care if I died. I didn't really care for life. I didn't care if I hurt anybody. So I figured, you know what, I'm probably not going to live that long. So I'm going to go all out. So I was on a mission. I was on a mission to do the work of the devil. I was on a mission to do some horrible, terrible things. That's why the people that I hanged around with liked me so much, and, you know, they kept me around or whatever. until God shined his light upon me. And what I thought I knew about life, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. See, some of you guys might have thought you knew, some of you guys might have been on a mission. Some of you guys might have thought you knew what you wanted to accomplish in life. Maybe you were on a mission to do this. Maybe you were on a mission to be rich, or maybe you were on a mission to steal stuff or whatever, you know, partying, drinking all the time, you know, hooking up with shorties, whatever it might have been, right? But you thought you had it going on. You thought you knew what life was about until God struck his light upon you. Struck his light upon you. And what happened? What you thought you were looking at the world, the way you saw the world, no longer made sense. What happened to Saul? He became blind. He became blind. For 3 days, Saul became blind. He had a perspective of what the world was to him. He had a perspective of what he was going to accomplish in life. He saw his vision, but then God struck his light. And let me tell you this. After Ananias prayed for him, he went and he restored his sight. God restored his sight. But after he restored his sight, he was no longer the same. He was no longer the same person he was before. He saw things a lot clearer. He saw things a lot different. Now the vision that he used to have, the mission, was no longer, and now he has a brand new mission for God. This great and evil man that was persecuting Christians now will be one of the greatest apostles. Some say he was the great apostle. One of the greatest disciples. One of the greatest followers of Jesus Christ. And he converted so many and went on to do so many great things. Now, he didn't have it easy. There were some hard trials. Now, other people were beginning to persecute him. But this whole thing that happened to him changed his whole life upside down, right side up. Whatever you want to call it. See, you thought you were on a mission before, but God had different plans for your life. God had better plans for your life. The devil was using you over here. See, the devil was using Saul over here. But God had bigger and better plans for his life. Amen. When God shines his light upon you, you are no longer the same. You can no longer see the same. God gives you a new perspective. See, and I'll tell you this. If you read on, the Bible says that when Ananias prayed for him, it restored his sight, but scabs fell off his eyes. That's what the Bible says. If you keep on reading, that's what it says. When he was praying for him, scabs came off his eyes. See, it's funny because in this world, you see your friends and sometimes you're trying to tell them, oh, this is the right way, or this is, you're trying to give them a different perspective. But let me tell you something. They cannot see the way you see because God has shined his light upon you. You see things in a different perspective now. They still have those scabs in their eyes. They cannot see it. They cannot see it. See, when you come to Christ and he shines his light upon you and he turns you around, he gives you a brand new mission, a brand new challenge, a brand new perspective. He gives you a brand new start. That's why we are called born again. We saw a different way of life, but now we're looking at it at the way that we should see life. We see it in a different perspective. Now, you can try to walk away from this perspective. You can try as much as you want. But that perspective is always with you now, and you can no longer be the same person that you were before. You get convicted now. When you start doing those things, God convicts you. You're like, I'm not supposed to be doing this. Right? You are no longer the same. I see a lot of you guys that before you used to be different, and now you have a brand new perspective. You are no longer the same. God has shined his light upon you. Not only does he shine his light upon you, but you become his chosen instrument. Somebody should be shouting right there. You become his chosen instrument. That's what you become right now. Amen? See, maybe some of you guys have scabs on your eyes from some situation that you're going through right now. Maybe some of you guys have. Maybe God's shined his light upon you, but now you still have those scabs. Well, let me tell you something, because there was 3 days that when Saul was walking, they had to grab him by the hand, right? He couldn't see to get to his destination. They had to grab him by the hand. And he couldn't see. For 3 days, he couldn't see. Until they prayed for him and the scabs fell off. So maybe some of you guys are going through something right now and you really don't quite get it. You don't quite understand it. You can't quite see how this is going to plan out, right? You can't quite see it. It's like, God, why am I going through this? What is going on? I don't understand what is happening right now. I don't quite know what is happening right now. I don't understand this feeling that I'm having right now, right? But God is saying, trust me, have faith in me. For those 3 days, Saul had to have some kind of faith in God now. God was leading him. God was working something out. Let's go to that verse, Mariah. Just go out. Yeah, right there. Isaiah 55:8. And we talked about Bible study. We touched on it a little bit, but I want to touch on it a lot more now. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and verse 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, we think we got things figured out sometimes. We think we know what is going on. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. His ways are higher than anything you could imagine. So in the day that the Apostle Paul saw, right, when he was blinded, he didn't know what was about to happen. He was in the dark for 3 days. He couldn't see anything for 3 days. He didn't know what was about to happen. But God was getting him ready for him to be his chosen instrument. See, some of you guys might not know what is happening right now. Some of you guys might not understand what is going on in your life right now. God, why is this? Why is that? Why is this? I don't understand this. I don't understand why I'm going through this. You're kind of in the dark. But your ways are not God's ways. His thoughts are higher. You have to trust him. You have to be faithful to him. You must have faith in him that he's working things out. Right? At the end of 3 days, he took the scabs off of him and he no longer was the same. He saw things in a different perspective. Now he has become the chosen instrument. Now we get some disciples discipling Saul. They start discipling him. And no later than that, he goes out and he's preaching the word to everybody. I mean, he goes all out. He was sold out, right? He sold out for God. He was all in. He didn't half-step it. But while he had those scabs in his eyes, he didn't know. It didn't make sense to him. But God was saying, and this is what God is saying to you. These situations that you're going through right now, you might be in the dark. You might not understand it fully. But understand this. God knows what he's doing. God's working it out. And he's making you. He's getting you prepared for you to be his chosen instrument. He's getting you prepared. I want you to say that. He's getting me prepared. I'm going to be his chosen instrument. And like I said when I started this message, I said it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what kind of background you have. It doesn't matter what kind of education you have. It doesn't matter. God chooses who he wants to choose, right? God, if God can choose the lowest of the lows, a no good Saul, a murderous and a treacherous character like that, and turn him into one of his greatest disciples, an apostle of the word, he can choose you. Amen? He can choose you. He can do his will upon your life. Believe that. You know, yesterday I got stuck at trying to get tires. I got stuck there for like 5 hours at the tire shop. And there was no restaurant around. There was no mall. This tire shop is like in the middle of nowhere, okay? But that's where God led me, okay? That's where God led me because I was looking everywhere else and I only had a certain budget, okay? I had a certain budget to get tires. I'll tell you this. I had $280 of a budget to get tires for two brand new tires on a 22-inch rim. That doesn't happen. Okay? Just one tire is over $200. Okay? But I said, God, you will provide. God, you will provide. And guess what happened? He put it in my mind to that place. The last time I passed through there was years, okay? So I went there because I didn't have the number. It's not on Google or whatever. I went there. And two brand new tires were $280. Exactly. Now, I had to wait there 5 hours because they didn't have that size of a tire. They didn't have it. They had to go an hour and a half to go get it. So they brought me one, and they had another one, and when they put on the other one that they had there already, it had a small little hole. It was defective. So guess what? When it was all said and done, after a couple hours of being there, they're like, oh, well, we got to go get you your other one. So I was there 5 hours. That's how I spent my day off of work, okay? But when I was sitting there, instead of complaining, because I do not know what God is trying to do, right? I can sit there and complain all I want to, but I said, God, I don't know what we're doing. But God, you know what? I'm going to start talking to people. I'm going to start witnessing to people. And so I started talking to everybody. Everybody that was coming into the shop, everybody that was coming in for their cars to get tires and stuff, I started talking to them. And then I started handing them flyers. And so I talked to a couple people. Started witnessing to them about Christ. See, my way of thinking wasn't God's way of thinking. You never know what he's doing. You don't know what he's going to do with you. You don't know how he's going to use you. Now, that little act of saying Jesus loves you or something like that could have made a big difference to that person. You don't know if that person was suicidal. You don't know what was going on in their life. So that little act could have made the biggest difference in the world. Why? Because God has chosen me to be his chosen instrument, to use me in the way that he would want to use me. Even when it seems small, even when it doesn't make sense at all, right? It didn't make sense for God to choose a person like Saul, right? He was trying to kill the Christians. Other Christians would have said, God, hit him, God, smite him, swat him down with a big fly swatter, God, right? But God said, no, I'm going to use him. I'm going to use him. Amen? He can use you. He can use you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you don't have nothing. I don't care what it is. He can use you. Believe that. You can be his chosen instrument and do great things. Amen? See, isn't God good? God is good. Because we're not worthy to be chosen. We're not worthy of that, of us being chosen instruments for God. We're not worthy. Saul was not worthy. He was one of the biggest sinners of them all, trying to persecute God's people. But yet, while we were still sinners, God chose us. Amen. God loved us. Now, he didn't love our sin. He doesn't love our sin. Okay? He hates the sin, but he loves the person. He loves the sinner. Hates the sin. Sin will separate you from God. But God loves you enough that he gave himself on the cross. Amen. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet bad, while we were yet ugly and doing all the wrong things that we shouldn't have been doing, God still loved us and chose us and shined his light upon us. Amen. Shined his light upon us and said, you will be my chosen instrument. Now, Saul answered the call. He answered it. He said, Lord, right? What did he say? He said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? He answered the call. He was already calling him Lord. He answered the call. And then he went all in. Once he restored his sight, he got baptized. The Bible said that he got baptized. He started, give me the word, you know. The disciples discipled him. And then he went out, started preaching to the world. He was God's instrument. He became the Apostle Paul. Saul became the Apostle Paul. See, I am very blessed. I am very blessed. Because God took a person like me and made him his chosen instrument. And now I'm here preaching to you guys, but not only preaching to you guys, but I'm teaching you the word for you guys to be a chosen instrument. Amen? For you guys to go tell somebody God loves you. For you guys to give somebody a flyer, telling them about God, tell them how good he is. Like I said, our ways are not God's ways, right? And if it was up to us, like I just said that, you know, we would have told God, just smite him. Kill Saul, you know? Get him, God. But no, our ways are not God's ways. His ways of thinking are higher. He has a purpose for your life. He has a mission for your life. He has a call for your life. You have gifts within you, and he wants to bring them out. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't have to change the way he dressed. He didn't have to change the way he looked. He didn't have to do none of that. He just had to answer God's call and let God begin to change them. Amen. Use the same gifts that you were using for the devil. The same persistence that Saul was using for the devil, now he's using it for God. And look how much greater the effects were. He was crazy for the devil. He was crazy doing crazy things for the devil. And now when he answered God's call, he was crazy for God. God, send me. God, I'll go. God, I'll do it. You are his chosen instrument. You are his chosen instrument. That's why when I tell you guys that when I wake up in the morning, I can't see myself how I think I look. Okay? I know I'm getting a little bit older. I know you guys can't tell. I know that. I just heard about a friend of mine, a pastor. He just turned 50. I was like, wow. I knew him when, I don't know, when he was 30-something. I don't know. And he just turned 50. I'm like, wow, he's getting old. And then I think about myself. It's like, oh, wow. I guess I am aging too, right? Because if I knew him that long ago, okay, so what? I started thinking about it. But see, I can't think about how I'm aging in the mirror. I can't think about how I might be looking or what I feel like, because it doesn't matter what my thoughts, it doesn't matter what I think about myself. It matters what God says I am, and what God says I am, and what he says I can do. That's what matters. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. It doesn't matter what other people see in you. It matters what God tells you you are, and you are his chosen instrument. And if God says you could do it, you can do it. I don't care what anybody else says. Don't believe what the haters say, what they all say. You listen to God. Listen to God's word. Amen. We are chosen instruments. Let's obey God. Let's answer the call. Let God shine his light upon you. Yeah, he's going to knock you off your high horse every now and then because you think you got it all figured out. He's going to have to do that every now and then. That's amazing. My brother here was stuck at his house for a very long time. But he's here now. That's amazing. God might have been doing something with him, and maybe he wanted him by himself for a minute. You know, maybe he wanted him to be right there so I can talk to him for a minute, right? You never know what God's doing. His ways are not our ways. So when things come at you, when all crazy things come at you, know that God has a plan. He has a better purpose. He has a mission for you. Do not believe what other people say. Don't think it's the end of it. But know it's just the beginning. If Saul would have thought it was the end of it when he went blind, no, it was just the beginning of his mission. It was just the beginning. God chose him. God is choosing you. I don't care what you're going through right now. I'm telling you, God has chosen you to be his chosen instrument. And that's what matters. Whenever God tells you, hey, go give a dollar to that person, give a dollar to that person. Whenever he says, go pray with that person, go pray with them. Whenever he says, invite them to church, bring them to church. Amen. We are his chosen instrument. If he says, if you have something in your heart that you want to accomplish, believe that you can accomplish it. Believe that. Because why God put it in your heart in the first place? God put it in there. Let's stand up. I want you guys to come forward, and we're going to pray like a family. We're going to pray for God's light to shine upon you. We're going to pray for his mission upon you. We're going to pray that we listen to him for a change. Amen. Go ahead and put a song on. And I want you guys to pray for yourselves. I want you guys to pray for somebody else. Whoever God puts in your heart, begin to talk to God. Begin to talk to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. Because you, at one point, were persecuting Him. How were you persecuting Him? By sinning. We all persecuted Him on the cross because we're all sinful. So from now on, that you will change some of your ways. That God will give you a new perspective in life. That God will make you an overcomer in life. He has chosen you. You are chosen generation in the mighty name of Jesus. You have the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe you've been disobeying Him for a little while. Maybe you didn't want to listen to Him for a little while. But now is the time to give it back to God. Now it's the time. He is choosing.